Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Educating for Success show. We bring families together with home business.
Hey, this is Ray Perry at Educating for Success, coming to you from the backside of nowhere in southern Tennessee. My co-host today is Ralph Hendricks from Joy Acres Farm in Joy, Kentucky. Welcome, Ralph.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, Ralph and I have a surprise for you today. We have a special guest who is coming to us all the way from Virginia's Shenandoah Valley and Polyface Farms, one of my favorite farmers in the whole world, Joel Salatin. Welcome, Joel.
Hi. Great to be with you both.
It's awesome to have you here.
I am so thrilled
to be able to have you on our show today because I know that you've got a new book out, and I've read several of your books. I have several of them on audio, and I just want you to share a little bit with our audience today about what you call alternative farming, getting back to nature and growing dirt the clean way and feeding our families with God's nutrition instead of processed, chemicalized things that come out of grocery stores. So tell us a little bit about your philosophy and about your book.
Yeah, well, the latest book, it's been out now for about 8 weeks, so it's still pretty new. The title is The Marvelous Pigness of Pigs. The subtitle is Caring and Nurturing for All God's Creation. If you want the sound bites are things like This is Rachel Carson for Christians. It's also the couple of the themes are is what you believe in the pew showing up on your menu.
We say
from the pew that we believe in the golden rule and doing unto others as you'd have them to do unto you, and then we. Then when we go get hot pockets and Happy Meals, we're patronizing a system that takes their neighbors to court if genetically modified organisms trespass on their land and give them beings that they don't want to have. It doesn't sound like a very good neighbor to me when you trespass on my land and then sue me for having beings that you own that I don't want. So anyway, you see the tenor. The point is that all of creation, the thesis is that all of creation is an object lesson of spiritual truth. So the question is, when you come to my farm and you spend time and you leave it, when you leave, do you say to yourself, well, I have just seen forgiveness. I have just seen abundance. I have just seen a long-term view, not a short-term view. Name your great spiritual principle. Is it viscerally represented in our farming and food system? We live in a time of this Augustinian duality, where physical is bad and spiritual is good. If you can see it, it's got to be bad, and if you can't see it, then it's got to be lofty and good. And the Bible is not that way. The Bible is a book of extremely visceral principles and parables and teachings and metaphors and analogies, and so this segregationist idea that we have this spiritual place and then we have this physical place and the two don't intersect is a very Greco-Roman Augustinian type of thing and I see it as a complete integration and intersection. And so the book is different because, there are plenty of creation care books written by academics and theologians and that sort of thing, but I don't know that there's been one written from this visceral, physical theme that we actually... that there is a moral dimension. There is a moral dimension to how we handle the landscape. And if there is a moral dimension to that, then maybe it behooves us to find out what we're doing. And I believe that if and when the faith community, and I'm using that in a very broad sense, if the religious right or the faith community would actually embrace our responsibility as as caretakers of creation, that we would get street cred, we would get incredible evangelistic and testimonial opportunities in our world if we were perceived as the repository of care of God's stuff, as opposed to the pillagers, conquistadors, and rapists of God's stuff, and the caretakers being, you know, the hippies and the gay tree huggers and the, you know, creation worshipers.
You are such an articulate, educated farmer. I love the way that you can also string adjectives together, and I think you even make up a couple of them along the way as you go. But
yeah, well, awesome. you know, I used to, anybody that's had really, really good writing instructors, you know, has always had, has always dealt with the strict grammatical, you know, that's not a word. Or that sort of thing. And yet it expresses exactly what you want. You know, the English language is so malleable with prefixes and suffixes, and, you know, you can hang stuff together and all that. And so I've in my older age here, you know, there's things that you can do when you get older. like, you know you're getting older when people say you're looking good instead of good looking. I've gotten to that point, you know, and so I feel like I've earned it at this point by my age and by the fact that I've written 10 books, that, you know what, if there's not a word that says what I want to say, I'll make up a word, and I don't care if it's not in the dictionary, and I don't care if it's, you know, if it's not grammatically correct, I'll push it a little bit. So I feel like I'll pull rank on that a little bit, you know, and do it anyway.
Oh, I think it's so fun. I love to listen to you speak. I've heard you several times, but also what you were saying a minute ago, not to make light of that, but to what you were saying a minute ago about getting back to taking care of God's earth like we're supposed to, and treating everything with respect the way that we're supposed to be caregivers, is so true. And in our society, when you can hardly walk into a grocery store these days and find anything that's clean, and of course nothing is labeled because nothing's required to be labeled to actually tell us what's in it and where it came from. It's getting to become somewhat of an epidemic, and so I've noticed that there's been a movement to go back to the mini farm, to step outside of the city and live in the suburbs a little bit, where you can have 5 or 10 acres and be able to grow some of your own vegetables and some chickens and pigs and cows and goats, so that you can at least feed your own family. Have you noticed that trend?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I speak at all 6 Mother Earth News magazine fairs, and, you know, Mother Earth News really, you know, was kind of a foundational pulpit, if you will, for the hippie back to the land movement of the 1970s. And then it kind of went downhill a lot. It got sold and got picked up by some executive Wall Street types that kind of ran it into the ground. It's now been picked up by another outfit that really got the mission, and it's, you know, they've really built the thing back, and they do these fairs. And what's fascinating to me is that they've done these audits to their constituency, just to learn, you know, who are our people. And what's fascinating is that on scales of 1 to 10, you know, the 10 being on the left, or 10 being on the right side, 1 being on the left side, with liberals on the left and conservatives on the right, almost no one picks 6, 7, you know, from 7 down to 3. Everybody's extreme liberal or extreme conservative, and exactly 50-50. And the same thing has happened with faith. You know, Christians and atheists being on the two ends of the spectrum, and 50-50 are Christian, and the other half are basically, you know, creation, whatever, Gaia, Earth Mother worshipers, and there's nobody in the middle. But it's again, it's 50-50, And so, you know, so this is a trend that's it's across partisan, it's across, you know, it's across belief systems. There is a huge, I call it the, you know, the local food or the, you know, the integrity food tsunami that's coming as people, you know, quit trusting the orthodox institutions of our day, whether they're, you know, centralized food processors or supermarkets or whatever. Yeah, there is a huge desire to build resiliency into your life. And, you know, maybe this is just part of Obamacare, too, you know, that I don't want to be involved, so I'm going to try to be healthy. That means I'm going to do something else. The homeschool movement has driven it massively. I mean, I remember, you know, 30 years ago, the average visitor to our farm ran about 75% were creation worshipers. Today, it's probably more than 50% are creator worshipers who are practicing stewardship as a result of creator worship. And a lot of this is coming out of the homeschool movement where, you know, when a person finds an opt-out message and finds it exciting, the next thing you know, they're saying, well, what else should I opt out of? I'm going to opt out of the supermarket, opt out of the, you know, the American Medical Association, opt out of Wall Street, whatever, you know. And here they are, you know, with a grinding mill in their kitchen and a PVC stack garden on the patio. And next thing you know, they got a beehive on the roof and a cow in the backyard, you know.
That's right. Well, actually, Ralph is one of those that is in that process of migrating away from a job and the city life into the country. Ralph, tell us a little bit about how Joel has impacted your life already.
Oh, well, the first book I read was You Can Farm. And after reading that book, I decided I could farm. And so we started with chickens. And I guess the chickens is the gateway drug into farming. So we started with chickens, and we transitioned. We have ducks and turkeys. We have rabbits, and we have bees. I don't have any hives on my rooftop, but we have beehives. And our dream is eventually to have some hogs, and I don't know about cattle, but I think that would be interesting too, but it's changed the way that we relate to our neighbors. It has changed how we relate to our own food and to our homeschool community. It's a very interesting process how what we've learned through Joel's books and just hands on trying to do what some of those books teach. It's been exciting.
So you're still in the process of trying to figure out the monetizing side of it. So Joel, tell us a little bit about the income opportunity to do things in an alternative way versus the traditional farming methods.
Yeah, well, the beauty of these mobile systems, mobile pasture-based systems, is that the equity is in skill and information, or it's what you know, and you know your skill at manipulating that, as opposed to, you know, a big concrete stationary structure. And another nice thing about, you know, the mobile infrastructure is that it can be modular, so that it's scalable. You can scale up, you can scale down, you can scale differently. You can get into one if you like it. You can retain your earnings and build another one, so that there's a lot of scale independence there. You don't have to be big. The reason that farms have had to be big in order to be profitable is because the infrastructure is so much cheaper by the size and by the million that creates economies of scale need. So it's prejudicial against small scale and concessionary toward large scale, but the mobile and the modular infrastructure takes all that away. And then, you know, it's management intensive, so that instead of being, you know, management lethargic, where the, you know, where you just have one species, one thing, and and you have, you know, expertise in that, or you have a field representative that comes out and deals with that one thing, you know, when you start managing chickens and ducks and turkeys and rabbits and beehives, there's a lot of management intensity in choreographing the, you know, the movement of everything so it's the right place. So, you know, at our farm, for example, you know, we're using the same acreage for cows and for egg mobiles, that's portable chicken houses with, you know, that lay eggs, for turkeys, for broilers. And, okay, so you add it up. You know, the cows are generating $500 an acre. You know, very little time per acre. You know, the bigger the animal, the less time per acre. The smaller the animal, the more time per acre, but the greater the return per acre. You know, if you could graze escargot on an acre, you know, it would be the greatest. You know, you could make, you know, $300,000 an acre, but it'd take a lot of labor to handle escargot on an acre. So you know, as you go up in size, you go down in income per acre and labor requirement. As you go down in size, you increase your income per acre, but you also increase your labor per acre. As you go up in size, it goes the opposite. So cows, so say $500 an acre. You run the, you know, the turkeys are $3,000 an acre. The egg mobiles, another $500 an acre. And then you add the broilers, you know, they're $7,000 an acre. So you add, you know, the 7, the 3, the 5, and the 5 up, and suddenly you're looking at $10,000-$11,000 an acre, and the neighbor right across the fence, all around us, all of our neighbors, you know, they're just running cows, and, you know, they're good to get $300 an acre from the cows. Of course, they got to work in town because they don't make enough off of the one enterprise. So when you stack these enterprises, yes, it does increase the complexity and the management intensity of it, but that's what you're getting paid for. And that actual skill to pull that off is what creates a firewall of protection between you and competitors, between you and everybody else doing it. So you actually experientially and skillfully move into a place that actually protects your entrepreneurial business, because it does take so much skill and management intensity to be able to run such a stackable, complex, relationally centric type of operation.
Well, that is awesome, and I am so thrilled that you have tapped into the secret of monetizing farming like nobody else seems to have done, because there was an article posted in our Educating for Success Facebook group today where so many people are giving up the farm and moving back to the city because they can't make it work for them financially. But you have proven that that's not necessarily true if you go back to God's ways of farming and do things like you just were mentioning a minute ago. So I'm thrilled that you're going to be speaking at our next conference coming up in August 2016 on 10 ways to monetize a small farm. So tell us a little bit about what you're going to share with us at that conference.
Well, I'll certainly be sharing there the multi-dimensional, the multi-enterprise. Some, you know, business books might call this holonic farming, where you have all these holons. So you minimize your waste stream, and you maximize where every enterprise starts by taking the waste of one and creating a new one out of it. So, you know, we'll be talking about, you know, eggs. One of the beauty of eggs is that they're very unregulated. I mean, there are places to start and places to end. And so, you know, one of the reasons for an herbivore, for example, is as a mower. So you don't have to have a mower. You do it with sheep, goats, or cows. And there's a difference between the sheep and the goats and the cows, obviously. But if you don't want a mower, you want an herbivore of some sort to do your mowing. And then behind that herbivore, you can run some sort of a bird, whether it's a turkey, a duck, a laying chicken, or whatever, but some sort of a bird like nature does, the egret on the rhino's nose. There's a symbiosis, and actually the herbivore manure offers the seven essential digestive enzymes for good bird digestion. So you actually stimulate efficiency in the bird, with the herbivore. And so then within that, of course, you have products that are everyday products and not everyday products. For example, eggs are everyday products. That's every man food. Everybody eats eggs. And the beauty is they come in little dozen containers. We call eggs our gateway. They're our gateway thing because everybody uses them. They're very unregulated, and they're in small enough pieces that you don't have to worry about an inventory of pieces, as opposed to if you're stocking, a bunch of beef pieces and you have T-bone steak, filet mignon, chuck roast, and ground beef. Obviously, you've got a bunch of pieces and you got to move all those pieces in order to keep your inventory flowing. So, there are principles involved here. And as you move then into other things, whether it's vegetables, produce, orchard, orchard is an amazing one. The beauty of that is that you can run all this animal stuff under the orchard trees. And so you're not giving up, you're not giving up your land base if you spread out the orchard trees so that the land does not have to pay for itself with just the orchard. Then you can actually have enough spread between the trees that you don't have fungus and mold and a lot of the problems that orchards have because the trees are so dense, because you have to pay for the land with one thing. And the same thing would be true with vineyard. You take the average vineyard, well, they tuck them in there real close, and the next thing you know, they got to use fungicides and all sorts of chemicals because the vines are so close and so dense that they don't get enough airflow. But if you space them out, because now financially you can, due to the fact that you're running chickens or growing garlic or produce or running rabbits or whatever between the grapevines, then you also have healthier grapes because they're not so dense, they're more spread out, and you get better airflow. So, all those things work together. And then, of course, for us, what's happened is the magic of all this and actually being able to be successful at it has brought interest from people. So now, people ask me, well, how do you do this? And I got tired of answering the phone. I said, I'm going to write a book, so I don't have to answer all these questions all the time. I'll write a book, and that'll keep the phone from ringing. Well, what happened to that? Wrote the book, and then you're suddenly the guru, right? And so that was the reverse effect of what I expected. But then everybody wanted to hear the story, So then you start going to speaking, and then people wanted to come here. So we started doing seminars here at the farm, and then the intern apprenticeship program grew out of that. So as you go down that scale, you have a starting point. And if you're successful, it will naturally move toward a place of what my dad always called, to us every bush is a burning bush, and what he was saying was, the world still stops to look at burning bushes, and so if you can be that burning bush, the world will still turn aside to watch your burning bush.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, yes, you have absolutely become the guru, whether you like it or not. and you're an awesome speaker, too. We've actually had you speak twice before at our home business conference, and Ralph, who is our co-host today, actually was the person that suggested that we invite you to come, and I didn't know if it was going to work out or not. I was so thrilled when it did, but you've just been hugely popular. Everyone has just absolutely loved listening to you, because whether people like farming or not, you're just so entertaining.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, Ralph, thank you. Let me just put the aside here to thank you for having that faith in me. I still deal with that a lot with people who know I'm a farmer, and they don't assume that a farmer can, you know, can electrify an audience. I mean, you know, electrifying speakers and farmers tend to not grow on the same pair of legs. most of us farmers are farmers because we don't like people. You know, we get along better with our tractor, you know, than our family. So I appreciate that. And you know, it's so funny because even still today, as much as I do and all that around, there are still, you know, I still have to occasionally, do a pretty significant marketing deal or explanatory or apologetic or whatever to get somebody to, can this guy really, I don't know, he's a farmer, you know, I don't know about this deal. So
the dumb farmer.
Yeah, the dumb farmer. So thank you, Ralph. I remember the first time I spoke at an Acres USA conference for Acres Magazine. Charlie Walters, of course, was in charge at that time. He's now deceased, and his son Fred runs the show. But this is back, 25 years ago, and I was an unknown. You know, nobody knew anything, but they took a chance. But they told me you've got 20 minutes. That was all they were willing to risk. You know, we got this 3-day conference, but we got 20 minutes for you, buddy. You know? and I practiced that speech in the mirror. I had a watch. I would time myself. I have to be at this, you know, this slide at 8 minutes in, and this one at 12 minutes in. I practiced that thing over and over. Went down there, and it went real well. So
I know it went. You're awesome. Well, and
so anyway, I take those challenges seriously, you know, and really, you know, I always pray. I say, you know, let me be interesting. Even if a person doesn't agree or believe in what I'm saying, at least let them go home and say, you know, I enjoyed that guy. He was fun, and it was a joy to, you know, to spend the time. That's what I want.
And that's absolutely what you are. You are totally fun. And at our conference, we're going to be giving you 2 1.5-hour sessions. Plus, if anyone wants to go to dinner with you that night, we have a small group set aside, an area in the side where we can have anyone who wants to go to dinner with you can, for an extra fee. Because a lot of times there are people who are like Ralph. They're serious about moving to the country and starting a farm and doing it right, and they have some specific questions that they would like to ask, and they would like to get some serious counsel and information back. And so we just decided to set aside a small room and have a nice little quiet dinner for those who are really serious about getting some serious answers. So I'm excited about being able to offer that to our folks. So it's going to be great having you. Let me tell you real quick about our conference. It's coming up in August 12th through 14th in Louisville, Kentucky this year. Our keynote is Joel Salatin, who we have on the air with us today, but you're also going to learn about how to make money selling stuff on Amazon. One of our attendees from last year has made $1.5 million in the last year selling stuff on Amazon, so he is actually going to be a speaker now. Awesome guy from Minnesota. We also have the owner of one of the membership site platforms is going to come and talk about how to have a membership site. Mike Stewart's going to come and talk about how to do audio and video online. My friend Jack Bosch from Germany is talking about how to buy and sell land, which goes right along with what Joel was talking about, moving from the city to the country. John Childers is going to be talking about the world's most profitable skill, which Joel is working on learning, or has learned very well and is monetizing very well, and that is public speaking. John says it's an amazing thing to be able to get paid to talk, and it's wonderful to do that. And Mauricio, one of the members of our online community, Mauricio, is a different type of accountant. He's going to be there. And my son, Drew, is going to come and talk about lessons from dirt. He has had this message in his heart for quite a while and has wanted to share this, but we haven't given him an opportunity to do that yet. He's now married with 6 children, one more coming in January, and he is an interesting young man. He now owns a trucking company, and he sells real estate by the shovelful. And so he's going to be coming and sharing some lessons at our conference. And so if you're interested in coming, this is the only conference of its kind where you can actually bring your kids, and you can learn together how to have a home business. It's a family environment, and at night we have English country dancing, which everybody loves, but especially the children. So if you're interested in coming, we actually do have an Independence Day special this week through July 6th, midnight, so that you can bring the entire family for the price of one person. It's just $197. You can go to the website and learn more about it at educatingforsuccess.com/2016HBC. We would love to see you there. Joel, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast today. It's awesome to have you here.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Ralph. It's been a real honor and a privilege to be with you. I look forward to seeing you in Louisville.
Yes, it's going to be
awesome.
Ralph, thanks so much for joining us. Yes. Talk to you guys soon. Today, our guest has been Joel Salatin of Polyface Farms, who is going to be our keynote at our conference coming up, and you cannot miss it. It's going to be an absolutely fabulous time. So thank you so much for joining us. This is Ray Perry signing out.
Thank you for joining us. To learn more about what we do at Educating for Success, visit us at educatingforsuccess.com.